So it's lovely. I've got Nikki Johnson here, who's going to help me lead the service this morning, which is great. A very warm welcome to you all. How lovely to start the morning off together worshipping God. I hope you've got your order of service in front of you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, and clothe us with power from on high. Alleluia. What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us in penitence open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for the day. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we turn to our Psalm 97. And we say together, you, Lord, are most high over all the earth. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his enemies on every side. You, Lord, are most high over all the earth. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw it and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declared his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. You, Lord, are most high over all the earth. Confounded be all who worship carved images and delight in mere idols. Bow down before him, all you gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You, Lord, are most high over all the earth. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He preserves the lives of his faithful and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light has sprung up for the righteous and joy for the true of heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. You, Lord, are most high over all the earth. Most high and holy God, enthroned in fire and light, burn away the dross of our lives and kindle in us the fire of your love, that our lives may reveal the light and life we find in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning is a song of Ezekiel. And we say together, "The Spirit of the Lord fills the whole world. Alleluia. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. A new heart I will give you and put a new spirit within you. The Spirit of the Lord fills the whole world. Alleluia. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You shall be my people and I will be your God. The Spirit of the Lord fills the whole world. Alleluia. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen.
The second reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Not much is made of Ascension Day these days. I have to confess that when I was a child, marking Ascension Day was not part of my church tradition. We were low church, you see. But my best friend at the time, Jilly Tribe, I wonder what happened to her, went to a church that was much higher up the candle, and she had the day off for Ascension Day, which at the time seemed to me to be extremely unfair. So why has Ascension Day largely dropped out of the Christian consciousness in our times? Firstly, the Feast of the Ascension, 40 days after the resurrection, always falls on a Thursday, which is not a good day for getting people into church. Moreover, by the following Sunday, the liturgists seem to want us to focus our attention on Pentecost, probably because talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit is a much easier concept for our modern mind than the thought of Jesus going up into the air and vanishing from sight. Secondly, the Ascension throws up all kinds of difficulties for us in the 21st century. We have been taught not to think of heaven as a place up there, somewhere above the clouds. We have been taught not to think of God the Father sitting bearded and majestic and slightly disapproving on a fluffy white cloud, surrounded by angels and other heavenly beings, as might appear on the ceiling of some basilica or cathedral. Have you seen that wonderful painting of Jesus ascending with his feet sticking out from a fluffy white cloud while the disciples look on in amazement? And thirdly, although not this year, definitely not this year, the Platinum Jubilee of Her Majesty, but overall and in general, we do not treat the institution of monarchy in such high regard as we once did. The Queen is an obvious exception to this, but I am sure that you, like me, have had countless conversations with people who hold Her Majesty in the highest regard and respect, but are not too sure about the lot who may follow. Ascension has a lot to do with kingship, which is not a fashionable topic of conversation. All of which is a great pity, because Ascension is as much part of the biblical record about Jesus as the stable in Bethlehem or the empty tomb. In a number of places, the New Testament tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of God. As the book of Romans says, who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? That's from Romans 8, verse 34. The Bible also states that one day Jesus will return from heaven, for the Lord himself will appear with the declaration of victory, the shout of an archangel, and the trumpet blast of God. He will descend from the heavenly realm and command those who are dead in Christ to rise first. Without ascension, none of these would make any sense. Wherever heaven is, whether we picture it simply above the clouds or with a greater degree of sophistication in another dimension, it is clearly to be understood as not being the same as earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Since his ascension into heaven, it is obvious that Jesus has been bodily absent from the earth, although he has been spiritually present ever since the first day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. Wherever heaven is, wherever we locate it, it is clearly different from earth, just as the risen Jesus was different from his disciples. When the risen Jesus appeared to his friends, they recognized him eventually. There was clearly something different about him. Jesus was recognizable, approachable. You could even touch him, as Thomas clearly did. Yet there was something different about him too. He was able to suddenly appear in a locked room, just as he had been able to emerge from a sealed tomb. This was something totally and radically new. However much we believe that when Jesus was born as a baby, he became like us, there was clearly something different about him too. The Ascension reminds us of this. Jesus may have become like us, but we have not yet wholly become like him. As we ponder on the Ascension and think of Jesus risen, ascended, and glorified, we need to remind ourselves of the purpose of his ascension. John records that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." When he said that to his friends, they were frightened and afraid, worried for the future. Jesus wanted to reassure them, just as he longs to reassure us. He has gone on ahead to prepare a place for us. We are going to be with him. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us that now the Anointed One has become the King Priest of every wonderful thing that has come, for he serves in a greater, more perfect heavenly tabernacle, not made by humans, and he has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but the sacred blood of his own sacrifice, and he alone has made our salvation secure forever. And later, when this priest had offered the one supreme sacrifice for all time, he sat down on a throne at the right hand of God. When the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, he is telling us that Jesus' work is complete. Seated at the right hand of God, as the writer to the Romans tells us, he is interceding for us. Just think about that. Jesus is praying for us, his people. What a thought. And finally, the ascended Jesus is waiting until his enemies are subdued, and then he will return, finally establishing the kingdom of God in completion. Then the final stage of completion comes, when he will bring an end every other rulership, authority, and power, and he will hand over his kingdom to Father God. Until then, he is destined to reign as king until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. That's from the first book of Corinthians. When this is finally accomplished, Jesus will bow the knee to God the Father, so that God may be all in all. You see, once paradise was lost, but it will be regained. Everything will submit to God, just as at the beginning of all creation. And it's only possible because Jesus' resurrection and ascension guarantee it. Jesus, what a saviour, what a friend, risen, ascended, and glorified. Amen.
So let us pray. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, may our prayers ascend to you just as Jesus Christ, your Son, was taken up to heaven. As we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus, let it inspire in us feelings of joy and hope, rather than fear and separation, as we await the coming of the Holy Spirit. Risen and ascended Lord, hear us. Everlasting God, we pray for our bishops, for Robert, Nick, and Jackie, and all church leaders. And we give thanks for all your people who serve in any way in these parishes. Bless us, we pray, and make us a blessing to others as we work together to live the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place. Risen and ascended Lord, hear us. Merciful God, we pray for all who suffer. Bring your healing to those who are ill, especially Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Stephen, Margaret, and Dave. May they know the gentle touch of your hand upon them. Risen and ascended Lord,
hear us.
Draw near to all who are anxious for the future and bring comfort to all who grieve. We pray especially for the families and friends of Bob Ogden, Tom Drew, Morris Taylor, Mike Bassano, Alison Mallett, Angela Burrows, and any more for whom we particularly pray. Uphold them all, Lord, in your great love. Risen and ascended Lord, hear us. Creator God, we pray for our troubled world, for its peoples and their leaders. We pray for all caught up in war, violence, and hatred, especially the innocent victims of these evils and those who are abused because of Christ. May injustice be overturned and wrong vanquished, that peace may abound and righteousness flourish. Risen and ascended Lord, hear us. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Spirit of truth, lead us into all truth. Give us grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and strengthen us to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for being here this morning. It's lovely to see you and to hear you, and I hope you have a good week. We're not having a coffee morning this week because of the Jubilee, but we'll be here back here at 9:30 for a service for Pentecost and the Jubilee, and at various other places too next weekend. Anyway, lots of love to you all. God bless and see you all soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.